If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
And we mustn't forget about Ukraine. That's why we check in with Joseph Lindsley at this time every morning. And Joe, I want to start by asking you a question that's really about Israel. And I want to get your take on this because, as you have demonstrated here, you're such a well-traveled, knowledgeable reporter and steeped in history. I was talking to my wife, who's Cuban, and I asked her... I mentioned that I haven't seen any Gaza Palestinians on the news saying because of those Hamas animals, our homes are rubble and our relatives and friends are dead while the Hamas leaders are in their hideouts. And she said it's the same reason you don't hear Cubans saying that. It's because if they did, they'd be killed. And I don't know if that is an accurate analysis of that, because then somebody else was telling me that most of the people there in Gaza do not even want to demonstrate. What's your take on that? I'd be interested to hear it.
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And I think this is one of the most important questions here, if not the most important. And it's also relevant to the situation in Ukraine, because, you know, we've looked at, I mean, the vast nation of Russia, you know, we've heard stories of a few Russian dissidents who, you know, have been vocal against Putin. Most of them are outside of Russia. And it's the same. I mean, you know, when you look at reporting, say, even from the BBC, they have reporters in Gaza, or they have, you know, Palestinian so-called reporters from Gaza telling the story there. And you never hear people from Gaza condemning what happened on Saturday, what Hamas did on Saturday. And for sure, I mean, and it's the same in any totalitarian society. If you criticize, you know, there's a price to pay. But this is where people have to find their own courage within themselves. And that's what Ukrainians did this in 2014. You know, Ukraine, you know, I mean, in the years after the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia, especially with the rise of Vladimir Putin, was working to get a stronger and stronger grip on Ukraine, to make Ukraine into sort of like Belarus, the country north of Ukraine, where there is no real freedom. And Ukrainians, in several revolutions, but especially in the Revolution of Dignity in 2014, they showed the world that if people unite and if you stay strong, despite how nasty the government threats get, you really can push back. And that's why 2014 was so... the revolution of 2014, the revolution of dignity, I think, you know, as if, you know, in the future, as we would go back and analyze the history of revolutions, to me is as extraordinary as 1776 in the USA, because it showed that regular people, if they stick together and band together, they really can change their society. And, you know, in the streets of Kyiv in that winter of 2014, you know, the secret police fired bullets. They killed protesters. And even that did not make the people go home. In fact, that made more people show up. But importantly, the people controlled themselves. They didn't burn down their city. They almost had their own society in the main square of Kyiv. And they had very strict rules that they imposed on themselves to keep order and peace during their protests. And it was because of that that they succeeded. And so this is Ukraine is an example for the world. And had the Ukrainians not done that revolution, there would be no war today, because Russia would already control this country, as they do with Belarus. Mm. And so the same story goes for Gaza. And if you see, you know, the Israeli government has been saying for the past 24 hours or 12 hours, I guess, that they want the citizens of Gaza, of Gaza City, which is the north part, the northern part of the Gaza Strip, to get out of the city, to go to the southern part toward Egypt. And they said, because we don't want to harm you, but we have to stop this menace. And then when Israel puts out this warning, and this gets often very missed in all the headlines about, you know, the tragedies in Gaza, the Hamas tells the citizens of Gaza, oh, no, this is just propaganda from Israel. Don't listen to them. So the Israelis are trying to tell the civilians, please try to get away. And Hamas won't let them. And I think in many ways, you know, it's a very similar pattern to what Russia's doing, even though Gaza is so tiny and Russia is so large. But regardless of size, they both are able to make the world terrified. You know, how does Putin do it? He does it with a nuclear threat. He says to the world, if you help Ukraine, if you try to stop what Russia is doing, we're going to nuke you. And he just tries to scare the world. Well, obviously, that doesn't scare Ukrainians. And it's the same with Gaza, except they don't have nukes. So they say, if you do anything, if you touch us, no matter how awful we are, no matter how many babies we behead, if you hurt us, we're going to make these 2 million Palestinians suffer in Gaza City. And so, as you know, we have to, the world, it's difficult. The world has to choose. Are we going to be afraid of this threat or not? And it's the same. I mean, the citizens, the people in that territory, as are the people in Russia, as are Americans when we have our foreign wars, you know, we have to realize that we are responsible for that. And I think Ukraine shows the world that we can have a reawakening of democracy. We don't have to live sort of frustrated that, you know, that we don't have a voice. And it's not only a matter of feeling good about that, but Ukraine is showing the world, if we stop having a voice, we're going to have more and more problems like this. We will end up with totalitarian societies with maniacal dictators that unleash hell upon the world. Mm-hmm. And this is the challenge for Palestinians. And when I went to visit the West Bank several times during my trips to Israel, you know, that's in the Palestinian Authority area, and the people I met there, especially Palestinian Christians, they, you know, you would be surprised at their opinions. For example, I met many people who liked Trump there. They thought he was going to help solve some problems in the Middle East. These are Palestinians. They liked Israeli people. They didn't like the Israeli government. They hated their own government. But by their silence, and, you know, they're in a, I mean, yeah, it's a tough challenge they're in, but because they don't condemn their government, this is how we get into situations like this today. And, you know, speaking of the threats, like, you know, we've had, you know, the world has been afraid of Putin's nuclear threats. And I want to point out that Ukraine has, it seems in the past days, we have some information that Ukraine has once again hit Russian ships in the Black Sea. And if you look at, you know, for the first, almost the first year of the full-scale invasion, Turkey and the United Nations and everyone, you know, said, okay, let's have a grain corridor so that Ukraine can still export goods. But that also meant that Ukraine really could not attack in the Black Sea. Well, now that that corridor is over, Ukraine has been quietly working to deplete the Russian naval capacity. And again, we can never be complacent, but it seems to be kind of working. And in fact, you know, since September 22nd, when Kyiv hit the Black Sea Fleet headquarters, it's been pretty calm. And everyone here is always nervous when we have this. I mean, it's not calm in the front lines, but we've not had major nationwide missile strikes in some time. There was the atrocity in Kharkiv and other at Nikopol, but there has not been a major attack. And so there, you know, we're wondering, is this because Russia's waiting to see what happens in Israel? Or, you know, is Ukraine actually doing a good job of destroying Russia's long-range missile capacity from the Black Sea? And maybe Russia cannot respond so well.
I want to add something to our discussion at the top here about the people there, the Palestinians in Gaza. We should also point out that they're indoctrinated. No one is born hating anybody, and the population in Gaza is in particular is very, very young, mostly under 30, and from a very young age they're brainwashed, as are the Cubans, and so that accounts for a lot of the lack of protest, don't you think?
Yeah, and this is what they've been, I mean, since Hamas took over in 2007, they've had, you know, 10, you know, they've had many years now, you know, 13 years to build a society of radicalized. I mean, the education has been, you know, telling people to kill the Jews. And this is why it's very bad to let these things simmer and go on. And it's why we're in a very horrible situation now. And you know, and I think many Ukrainians say, you know, had Ukraine been able to defeat Russia, you know, already, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation. And Ukrainians were saying, if we don't stop Russia, we're going to have more and more problems like this. And now we see these problems are starting to continue. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, what the Israelis say, they need to stop this now. It's horrible. And the way Hamas has raised a generation of children, and it's absolutely awful what they've done. And that's it.
We'll talk again on Monday. Meantime, you can see Joseph as he's talking to us, along with videos from Ukraine. Just go to the Surratt Show page at WGNRadio.com. Hope you have a little bit of R&R and can somewhere along the line this weekend, Joseph.
I'm about to catch the train, and so I'll talk to you from somewhere else in Ukraine on Monday.
All right. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, Bob.